Today, by date stamp, is November 24th, 2024. It can't be a month already. So it seems like I was just here speaking to you yesterday. It's amazing how fast time flies by. And I want to thank in advance who's ever posting today. This lesson is going to have a lot of verses, so bear with me if you can't keep up. Tony's going to send out my notes so you can refer to those if you need to, either now or later, whatever works best for you. So let me see. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this lesson today. We always thank you for your words of truth and words of wisdom and understanding. We bless you, we praise you, we glorify you in all we do and think and pray. In Christ's name we pray, amen. The lesson today is going to be a little different for me. It's not going to be a lesson on apology for apologetics for the body of Christ. This lesson today is entitled, What Does It Mean to Be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? This is an expression used almost exclusively by Paul. I know Jude used it once, Peter used it once or twice, John, I think maybe once. So who knows? Maybe they heard it from Paul. So, in 1 Corinthians 15:22, we read that, for in Adam die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So in Christ, all people are made alive spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it reads, and so it is written, first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Jesus Christ was the only human being ever born without sin, without the sin of Adam. He was not conceived by the seed of man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So on December 25th, coming up here, we celebrate the conception of Jesus Christ, not his birth. He took upon himself all the sin of mankind, from Adam to the last human being ever to be born, but he knew no sin himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So in Christ we are made righteousness of God. Through the death of Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. Through the acknowledgement of our sin and the blood of Christ as the atonement for our sin, restored to the likeness of God. That's what Adam forfeited by his disobedience. The state of sinlessness and spiritual immortality. That's the likeness of God that we are restored to in Christ. Now, there's only two categories of human beings in the world. All human beings, by no choice of their own, are created in the sin nature of Adam. And those who choose to remain in Adam die a permanent death. The scripture says they perish. They don't go to hell. They're not tormented for eternity. They just perish. But those who choose to be obedient to God by faith are quickened by the Spirit of God and remain spiritually alive. Even though they may fall asleep temporarily in physical death, these are adopted to sonship and will be resurrected to a better life in a place according to their calling and inheritance. So, the first meaning of being Christ is the assurance of no longer being in Adam. The first meaning of being in Christ is the assurance of no longer being in Adam. Being in Christ is your spiritual state. That's your spiritual state. Someone who is in Adam could know of Christ, yet still not be in Christ. They know about him, but do not know him. Consequently, there are those who call themselves Christians, that are not saved and are not in Christ. And I wrote in my notes here that I know that because I was, that was me at one time. But after the thought, maybe that's not true because I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So I have always been in Christ, even though I wasn't aware of it. And I hope that's true for you too. The Greek preposition en means being and remaining within, with the idea of resting continuous. Being and remaining within. So if you're in Christ, that you're being and remaining within Christ with the idea of continuance and rest. This is a spiritual union, a fellowship with the Messiah or the Christ. You might have heard a teenager say to another teenager, I am so into you. I am into you. This is an expression of affection. All I can think about is you. Well, I want to ask the question, are you into Christ? How much do you think about Christ? Are you so into Christ? All human beings are created in Adam, but not all human beings choose to be in Christ. The ground of the choice lies in Christ and his merits. All God's people, all people are who are saved, all who are saints. Now I got to interrupt here a minute. I was watching on the news this week, the Catholic Church is going to canonize a teenager to be a saint because he always wanted to be in church or always wanted to be around the sacraments or whatever they said. So I don't know, and you and I know this, but the Catholic Church is not the one who determines who are saints and who are not. Just as a side, I thought saints, I never thought it was a saint because those are people that the church had to, you know, officially canonize as saints. But if you are saved, you are a saint. So all of God's people, all who are saved, all who are saints, all the seed of the woman, all who are the called, all who are the called and chosen, all who are the called and chosen and faithful are in Christ. These are in Christ no matter their calling, no matter their hope, no matter their inheritance, no matter their realm of age-abiding life. Being in Christ is something you cannot rightly divide. It is for all those of God's people. Whether you are a child of God or an adopted son of God, you are in Christ. But the meanings of in Christ might differ with a view to one's calling and hope. How much in Christ are you? Or am I? There are many scriptures that describe what it means to be in Christ. Time does not permit us to cover all of them for this lesson, but let us turn to a few of them to appreciate what was written in them. Even before Christ came in the flesh, some were chosen Messiah or in Christ, as I believe. Of course, we know that before the overthrow of the world, the elect body of Christ was chosen out, ek legomai, chosen out in Christ for a special then future purpose. In Genesis 4:4, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. I believe that Abel was in Christ. Genesis 6:8-9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God. In Genesis 12:1-2, and the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, so forth, and I'll make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And down in verse Genesis 17:4-5, it continues, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Neither shall the name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." So I know that Christ didn't exist in the flesh at that time, but these people, by their faith, were in Christ. In Genesis 17:19, "And God said to Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him, for an Isaac shall thy seed be called." In Genesis 32:27-28, "He said unto them, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, my name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And let us not forget many others: Job, Enoch, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all those named and unnamed in chapter 11 of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews as having faith. They were justified by their faith. Their sins were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ as well. They are all in Christ by their conduct of faith in God and his plan. Let us go through some of Paul's Acts period verses chronologically. And these are just some that I picked out that I feel that might give us some idea of what it means to be in Christ. In Galatians 2:4, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." So being in Christ gives us liberty. And that bondage, liberty from any bondage, bondage of religion, bondage of the law, bondage of any kind. In Galatians 2:20, this is an indirect statement, but it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This is an identification with Christ. It's an indirect way of saying to be in Christ. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Well, when you put on Christ, you are the same as being in Christ. Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So even though this unity, it's unity of one of the callings, but it is a separate identity. You're no longer a Greek or a Jew. You're no longer male or female, or bond or free. You're not any earthly designation whatsoever. You are in Christ. It's a separate identity. "For in Jesus Christ," in Galatians 5:6, "for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So in Christ, it's the faith that's important, not the physical status of your body. It's the faith. In Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Now this is a rewording of the previous verse, but it's also different because now in Christ, a new creature. Now this is during the Acts period. This is a new creature. Now in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with an angel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So if you're dead in Christ, you have resurrection. You will rise again in Christ. You have life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in Christ Jesus, we are to give thanks. This is the will of God. Thanks for everything. And we are so thankful for so many things that we cannot even imagine them all. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which established us with Christ you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So it is God who establishes us in Christ. He has anointed us. He has chosen us. He has put us there in Christ. It's nothing that we do. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, or new things come into being. So again, this is something different, a new creature. As we said before, a new creation. Their very essence changed the moment they are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So being in Christ means you are sanctified and called to be saints. It's another characteristic of being in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, which is God, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So because of God, we are called to be holy saints in Christ. In Christ we have his wisdom and his righteousness and his holiness and redemption by his shed blood. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So you could be babes in Christ, or later on we're going to be talking about being perfect in Christ, being mature and full grown and perfect. You can be a babe in Christ. So something we can grow, something we can mature into. 1 Corinthians 4:10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong, and ye are honorable, but we are despised. So, in Christ, obviously, that's where we get our wisdom, our strength, and our honor is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, to Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. So there are two things there. We have our rejoicing in Christ, and we die daily in Christ. We die daily, Paul says. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So we triumph in Christ. We triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not any which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we speak in Christ, and not in a corrupt way, but sincerely we speak the truth in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So in Christ there is no veil. The veil is taken away. Even in the Acts period, when he's talking to the Jewish people, they had this veil like from the Old Testament. It was red, but they just couldn't comprehend it. That's taken away in Christ. And man, he's taken away, I mean, we have several layers of veils that Christ keeps peeling away in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's a biggie. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So reconciliation comes from being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. This is not difficult. You know, being in Christ is very simple. So much simpler. I don't know how people deal with the world without Christ today. 2 Corinthians 11:10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. So in Christ, there is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the truth. The truth is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. So we speak before God in Christ. When we pray, when we speak before God, when we think before God, it's in Christ. Romans 3:24. Some of these are out of order. I'm sorry. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So another thing we have in Christ is our redemption through his blood. Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we have no condemnation. We have judgment, as all saved people will be judged, but condemnation is for the ungodly. And we don't have that in Christ. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So in Christ Jesus, under the law of the Spirit of life. That's it. No other law. The law of the Spirit of life. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when you're in Christ, you have the Spirit of God that dwells in you. The Spirit of God. Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of his righteousness. So our soul has a body and a spirit, and in Christ, the flesh is dead, the spirit is life. In Adam, the body is dead and the spirit is dead. So in Christ, we have the spirit of life. Romans 8:9. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in Christ, we cannot be separated from the love of God. No way, no how, no matter what. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. So again, we speak the truth in Christ. What we say is true. We can't lie. We say the truth in Christ. So we, Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. So that one there in the Acts period is in Christ, just like other bodies are in Christ. That body was in Christ. There's one verse each from Peter, John, and Jude. And I'll read those, understanding when they were written and for whom they were written. Having a good conscience that whereas we speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good behavior in Christ. So those in Christ have a good behavior. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth. We are in him. We know him that is true. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So in Christ, they're sanctified and preserved in Christ. Bear with me. We're coming down the line, down the home stretch here. So thank you for hanging on. This is a lot of verses. Hope you can get these copies and maybe contemplate on them a little more. The following verses are from Paul's post-Acts epistles. These even get better. I mean, these are awesome. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. So in Philippians, he just calls them saints in Christ. He doesn't mention the faithful yet. He's just mentioning the saints in Christ. Okay. Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love in Christ, if any fellowship of the Spirit in Christ, if any bowels and mercies. So there we have consolation and comfort of love and fellowship of the Spirit in Christ. Philippians 3:9, to be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So in Christ, we don't have our own righteousness at all. We may think we do sometimes. I know sometimes I think I'm righteous, but it's not me. It's Christ. My righteousness is in Christ. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, we have the opportunity for the prize of the high calling of God. That prize can be taken away, but, you know, it can be hung on to. We can keep that prize if we persist. Ephesians 1:1. Now in Ephesians, the in Christ is only in like the first chapter. This is our status. This is our state. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now he's talking about the faithful in Christ Jesus. This may be another step up the ladder. Or maybe not up, but sideways, but another part of being in Christ Jesus. You can be not a babe, but you can be even a faithful in Christ Jesus. Blessed, verse 1-3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing that is spiritual in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in Christ. That's another awesome status for us to claim in Christ. All, every blessing that is spiritual. 1-4 in Ephesians, according as he hath chosen us in him, the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow. He's never said that about anybody else before we read. Hey, we haven't read any of that before, have we? I don't remember. But right now, into the body of Christ, he's speaking that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Erase the board. Erase the slate. Erase it. That's how he chose us. 1-6 in Ephesians, verse 1-6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now that's in Christ. He made us accepted in Christ. It was God's doing, not my doing. It was God's doing. No church, no religion did it. Just God did it for me. Verse 1-7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to a covenant? No, it's according to the riches of his grace. That's all. In Christ, in whom? In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of every sin, past, present, and future. 1:11, verse 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated. That means being named in a will according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Our inheritance is the above heavens where we sit with Christ. That's our inheritance. That's our place. That's our inheritance. Now in Colossians, there's a few verses. In 1:2, in verse chapter 1, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Here he calls them the faithful brethren in Christ. Again, the faithful. Faithful to the understanding and acknowledgement of the mystery of the body of Christ, in my opinion. 1:4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have all the saints. Your faith in Christ Jesus, in the body of Christ. 1:18. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Christ should all fullness dwell. So we are part of that fullness. We are the members of the body of Christ, the fullness that filleth all in all. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, you in Christ. It works either way. You have a hope of glory. That glory is in the above heavens. That glory is where we're seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's not a babe. That's the full-grown man, the perfect, every man perfect, perfect husband, the perfect man. And Colossians 2:6, as we have therefore received Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in him. So our walk is in him, in Christ. Rooted and built up in him. We are rooted in him. We are built up in him. Edifying, that means built up. Edifying, building in him. And established in the faith. as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Man, are so many people missing this. You know, so many people are missing this glorious, glorious good news. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's us. That's the body of Christ, bodily. And ye are complete in him, in verse 10. Ye are complete in him. In Christ, ye are complete. You don't need anything else. You are complete. You are filled to the top. Not one more drop is needed of anything. In whom, in verse 11, in whom, in Christ, also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So we have a circumcision that is spiritual, made without hands, spiritual circumcision. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So our circumcision, we're circumcising the body from the spirit, as I see it. Our life in Colossians 3, 4, our life has been hid with Christ in God. Our citizenship is in Christ. That's where we live. Our life is in Christ, in God, in Christ, our citizenship. And it's hid so nobody else can see that citizenship. We don't have to present our papers. It's written in the heavens. Coming down to the last ones here. 2 Timothy 1:1. Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. We have the promise of life. It's a promise. It's a promise. There's no way of undoing that. It's a promise. You got a promise of eternal life. And that's eternal life in the above heavens even. 1:9 in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to our works. Not according to our works, but according to his purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, he saved us in Christ. He called us in Christ with a holy calling. Verse 1:13. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Our words are sound. We have the faith and love, not only for each other, but for Christ. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong in the grace. Nothing we deserve. Be strong in the gift of the grace. 2:10, 2 Timothy. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is not any salvation. This is a special salvation in Christ Jesus with eternal glory for the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We shall suffer persecution, and we will glory in it if we do. 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation through which is in Christ Jesus. So, I think Ephesians 1:10 concludes this very nicely that, and I don't know how you interpret this, but it says that in a dispensation of the fullness of time, gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heavens or in the heavens and which are on earth, even in him. So all the different groups that are in Christ will be gathered together in one. They will all be in Christ. So we believe that there are at least three families of God. We believe that not one family is any better or superior than the other before God. They will all be gathered together in Christ in the dispensation of fullness of times. Then Christ and all in Christ will be subject to God the Father, and God will be all and in all. How many of these facets of in Christ can you claim for yourself? We read a lot of them. There's a lot of facets, a lot of meanings of being in Christ. How much of in Christ can you appreciate and be thankful for? And in conclusion, I'm going to say, I think the word Christian means pertaining to Christ and his teachings. I would rather choose a different term for the members of the body of Christ, as we are so into Christ that we are Christ-ins, Christians, but Christ-ins, and we are members of his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Heavenly Father, what a precious message and what a precious position to be in Christ for eternity. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. We have no problems whatsoever. We are in Christ. We have it all. We just need to appreciate it and be thankful for it and live accordingly and share it with others. In Christ's name we pray.